Welcome to Walking in the Living Word Ministries, a weekly podcast with your host, Pastor Mike Futrell. Walking in the Living Word is committed to teaching, equipping, and mobilizing the body of Christ through faithful teaching and the proclamation of God's Word. Get ready to receive today as Pastor Mike Futrell inspires you on your journey of walking in the Living Word.
Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Walking in the Living Word Ministries. Last week, we started our talks with what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I want us each week for the next couple of weeks to look at different episodes and different things that will help draw that relationship closer to Jesus. Last week, we looked at Mary Magdalene and how she was an example of a follower of Jesus. This week, in episode 2, we want to look at, are you a fan? Are you a follower of Jesus? And if you would please take your Bibles and turn to Luke 9. We're going to be looking at verses 23 through 26 in just a few minutes. Over the next several weeks, I want all of us to examine our relationship with Jesus. Now, I get the fact that for some of you, this is kind of a first date with him, maybe, or you're not exactly sure what to make of any of this that I'm talking about. Well, you can just kind of sit there and listen and see where you fit in. Maybe you're not ready for this talk at all yet, but I think most of us listening need to define the relationship we have with Jesus. I call it a DTR talk. Defining the relationship with Jesus. We need to find exactly where we stand with him. So my question, as we start this journey today, are you a fan or a follower? Luke 9, 23 through 26, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. What is a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whatever is he's ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. So today I want to look at Luke 9, verse 23 is our main set of scripture for today. And this is Christ's invitation to follow him. And it states, and he was saying to all of them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, I think many of you are probably welcome this DTR talk, define the relationship with Christ talk. Because you are ready to move to a different level of commitment. You're ready to move past the casual, past the convenient, into something more devoted, something more committed. So my question to you, are you ready for this talk? Some of you are not, because you like the setup you have with Jesus. I mean, Jesus is a nice guy, and you like church. It gives you something to do on the weekend, and it's awfully nice that we can sip some lattes in the coffee bar in the lobby while we're there. You like just going. But this idea of being committed, this idea of taking it to a different level, it gets you a little anxious. Maybe you even get into a fight or flight response. But what we want to do is define the relationship. Where do you stand with Jesus? Are you here? Are you here today listening to this and you're not sure where you fit in? Are you a fan? Are you a follower? Maybe you don't understand what being a fan of Jesus is or what being a true follower of Jesus is. And you wonder why I would even ask that type of question. You say, we're all followers of Jesus. I'm a Christian, right? Don't jump to your answer too quickly. Hear me out. The word fan is defined as an enthusiastic admirer. We're all fans of different things, right? Many of us are sports fans. We watch the games. We cheer on the team. Some of us even have the jersey with the player's name on it. We understand the concept of being a fan. And my concern is that our churches have the potential to become a stadium full of fans, just fans of Jesus. They're not committed. And Jesus never cared about having fans, folks. If you define a fan as an enthusiastic admirer, then fans were not important to him at all. See, I think we have a tendency to come together once a week and be fans of Jesus. We sit down in our seats and we open up our programs. We give a round of applause at certain times. We leave somehow thinking that as fans, it was all done for us. We get in our car and we access the sermon. We look at the service. We look at the songs. And we even give a thumbs up or thumbs down. And we come back to do it again week after week, week after week, week after week. And I get the fact that some of you are really big fans of Jesus. I mean, you're really into all of this. You know all the songs, and you do not need the page number for the Bible. You can turn to the scriptures quickly, and you're pretty fast. And you kind of look around to see how much faster you were than everyone else around you, keeping your sword drill skills sharp and ready. You're big fans of Jesus, and being fans feels pretty good. We can feel pretty good about ourselves because we are great admirers of Christ. But Jesus never cared about having fans. So if we'll be honest with ourselves, if we'll really search our hearts and begin to define our relationship with Jesus, there's three questions that we want to look at today to help us to answer that question. Are we a fan or a follower? So the first is, why do you go to church? If you read through the Gospels, Jesus, at different points in his life and of his ministry, would draw a line in the sand, and he would separate the fans from the followers. One such incident is in John chapter 6. Jesus is at the height of his ministry, and we read that large crowds were following him. He was very popular. He was working the miracles. He was providing food from just 5 loaves of bread and a few fish, and a lot of people were in the crowd following Jesus. But Jesus, in verse 2 of chapter 6 of John, a large crowd followed him because they saw the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. Do you realize why they were coming? Why they were there? It was for the miracles. The main reason the crowds were showing up was because of the event. They did not care about much about the teaching he was doing, about the Gospels, about the life-changing lessons that Jesus was giving. They were there for the show. So why are you at church? What is your because? Is it because you like the message? Is it because you think the seats are comfortable? Or really, you really like the music? Is it because you like the chit-chat? And maybe your kids can make friends easier at church than at school? Is that why you're at church? I mean, that's great for a while. But at some point, let's define the relationship we have with Jesus. Why do you go to church? What is your reason? What is your main reason for going to church? See, in that passage, Jesus challenges the fans to go deeper, more intimate with him, relationship with him. And in verse 66, we read of that chapter, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. See, when Jesus started giving them the life lessons and really teaching them how their life should be and how things should change in their lives, the miracles and the show started to go down, and so they left. A lot of them went home because Jesus says, let's define what you got here. And what he offered is not what they wanted. And it may be the time for some people just to go home because you've come for a while and you understand things, and yet you're coming more for the miracles, more for the show, more for what Jesus can do for you. And he wants there to be a point where he wants to define the relationship he has with you. So why are you at church? Because the why really means something. For Jesus, his part is that he wants to have a deep relationship with you. The second question that we need to look at after we decide why you are at church, are you all in? Being a follower of Jesus requires complete commitment. A follower of Jesus will do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. They are absolutely loyal and completely committed. Remember last week when we talked about Mary Magdalene? Boy, she stuck with Jesus like no one else, folks. I mean, she was with him every second of every day, every chance she had. She was completely, absolutely loyal and committed to him. On the whole, we do not do well with absolute commitment, though, do we? I think that we prefer selective commitment. Simply put, we customize Christianity. Oftentimes, we look at our relationship with Jesus and say, I'm going to follow Jesus, but I'm kind of going to do it my way. Pick and choose the areas which I will follow him. So you say, well, I will follow Jesus, but don't ask me to give him complete control. Don't ask me to forgive the person that hurt me. I'm not going to let go of that resentment. I'm not going to let go of that bitterness. I deserve that. And I'll follow Jesus. But don't talk to me about money. I work hard for my money. I follow Jesus, but don't tell me to abstain from those sexual desires. I cannot help the fact that I have those desires. Do not ask me to abstain. See, I'm a follower of Jesus, but that won't stop me from getting what I want. See, that's the problem, folks. We want Jesus to give us what we want. We don't want him to give us what he wants. So it is this customized Christianity that says, well, I'll follow Jesus, but only in the areas that are comfortable, only in the areas that I agree with. I'm a Christian, but I'm not all in. Well, then you're not a Christian, folks. You're just a fan. Jesus says he wants 100% commitment, not 80%, 90%, or even 98% will work with him. It has to be 100% or it just doesn't work. So when you decide to follow Jesus, there's not an option of selected commitment. It's not a possibility at all. There's no bargaining, discussing, or persuading Jesus on different areas. When you decide to become a follower of Christ, you have to get all in. Give it your all. And fans, they do not like the idea of going all in. They're not wild about having to make sacrifices or about having to deny themselves of something they desire or want or crave. But if you truly answered why you go to church, then it will be pretty easy to figure out if you're all in. If you were not here for the right reasons, if you're not at church for the right reasons, chances are that you're not willing to be all in either. You're not willing to give it all to Jesus. So in defining our relationship with Jesus, we started with, why are you at church? Then we talked about, are you all in? So my third question today is, have you made it your own? See, many of us started going to church because of a parent. Mom made you. Dad said you had to. There was not an option. Or maybe you started coming because of a boyfriend or girlfriend or a spouse. You became because you wanted to make them happy, so you came. You didn't come for any other reason. For those of us who grew up in church or attended church in order to satisfy someone, it can be really easy to become a fan. It's like riding in a car with someone who listens to some type of music that you're really neutral to. They drive you to school or work every day, and every morning it's Aerosmith. I do not really care that much about Aerosmith. I don't hate them. I don't really like them, but it's fine to listen to. But eventually a few songs grow on you just a little bit, and you can't stop but hum along to, I don't want to miss a thing. So you might say you've become a fan of Aerosmith. See, that can happen in church as well. We keep coming to make someone else happy, and pretty soon we get into the flow of things. We know most of the songs, and we even recognize the stories or the teachings. And we're kind of fans of Jesus. But that is the most dangerous situation to be in. If your faith is not your own, if you're not pursuing a real relationship with Jesus, and you keep coming week after week and begin to create a faith that was someone else's in the first place, you're just numbing yourself to the real thing. You will become numb to real faith, comfortable with a few songs, a few favorite stories, a few scriptures, but none of them which requires any sacrifice or personal change. You have to make your faith your own. Jesus is not looking for a relationship between you, your mom, and him. He's not looking for a relationship between you, your spouse, and him. He's looking for a relationship with you. That may be one of the reasons Jesus said in Luke 14:26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. This is not about your mom, your dad. This is about you and Jesus. See, Jesus was not saying that you literally had to hate your wife, your mom, dad, children, yourself. He's saying if you put them before him, it couldn't work. Jesus had to be first. And if anything else was first, it was not going to work. So the question, are you a Christian fan? Are you a disciple follower? Perhaps you've been a Christian for years. There was that point in your life when you discovered Jesus for yourself. Maybe something happened that caused you to seek comfort or meaning or healing in your life. Maybe your parents were Christians and they took you to church and Sunday school. Maybe you became aware of a need inside your heart that you could not explain. Maybe God revealed himself to you in some way. Maybe a friend invited you to church and it felt like the preacher was speaking directly into your life. However it started, you became aware of the message of the gospel, Jesus Christ, God's only son, born to die because of your sin, your iniquities. You realized that Jesus was the Savior and that by trusting in him, you would be set free from the penalty of your sin. You realized that Jesus was the Messiah, God's anointed one. And by turning to him in repentance, he would save you. Then there was a hunger in your heart and mind to learn more about the things of God. You wanted to draw closer to him and to grow in him and to be like him. You read what you could. You went to church. You listened to the sermons. You went to Bible studies. You went to prayer meetings. You told other people about how important being in a relationship with Jesus was. You wanted to fill every moment with worshiping and serving your Lord and Savior. You were on a different journey. You were walking with Jesus every day, and you loved it. You were excited. You always looked forward to the next step of your journey with him. But And that's a big word. But at some point, you came to a fork in the road. Something happened that caused you to make a choice about your journey. Something happened that burning desire to follow Jesus, to share Jesus, to be like Jesus, started to cool off. Over time, your fire for Jesus became lukewarm. Learning about God took a lower priority in your life. In-depth Bible studies turned into a quick dip into a five-minute daily devotion, if it was that. Your daily prayers of praise and worship turned into an ad hoc shopping list of wants and needs, what you wanted and what you need, instead of praising and worshiping God. And being an active participant in church became and started turning into a couple hours on Sunday or Wednesday, if it fit, was a part of your schedule, if you could fit it into your schedule. Jesus is still your Savior, but you have chosen other things to be the Lord of your life. But you have a choice. Your Christian life does not have to remain lukewarm. The fire can be rekindled. You can choose a different path. You can choose to move away from the cold, casual, convenient Christianity into a devoted, active discipleship. It's your choice. How far are you willing to travel on your commitment path? Are you willing to renew your love, trust, and obedience to Jesus? Are you willing to be an energetic disciple follower? Just one more thing as I close. Back to the question we started with. Are you a Christian fan? Are you a disciple follower of Jesus? We all need to understand that we don't need to be casual Christians. We need to be energetic disciples. God calls us to be more than just people who live the way they want throughout the week, and then maybe turn up for a couple hours on Sunday or Wednesday. And in 2 Timothy 4, 7 through 8, Paul wrote, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So are you willing to move to a different level of commitment in your Christian life? Are you ready to move beyond a casual, convenient Christianity and to something that's more devoted, more committed? So begin to search your heart over the next few weeks as we ask, are you a follower of Jesus? Or are you just a fan of Jesus? Are you ready to live your life as an active, energetic disciple? You know, I want to challenge you to really look at your life over the next few weeks and see where you stand with Jesus. Are you in a relationship with him? I want you to define the relationship you have with Jesus. And if you're not in that true relationship, completely committed, completely loyal to him, then you need to look at your life and see if you're doing what he would have you to do. So thank you for joining us with this episode of Walking in the Living Word Ministries. And I look forward next week as we continue our journey of following Jesus. So we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on this edition of Walking in the Living Word with Pastor Mike Buttrell. We pray that you've been inspired and equipped to fulfill the plan that God has for your life. Subscribe to this podcast, share it with a friend, and let's partner together to walk in the Living Word.